Jake, most Americans saw the situation that occurred in the Oval Office last week between President Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky, but the president really has a strategy here. Can you talk a bit about what it is that Donald Trump is trying to accomplish?
I think there are two things that President Trump's trying to accomplish, and I think to him, they're equally important. First, he would like to see the war end between Ukraine and Russia. I don't think anyone is naive enough to think that hostilities and political rivalries between those two countries are going to end tomorrow. But the full-on fighting, the hot war, I think President Trump would like to see as soon as possible. Yes, he'd like to take credit for it, and if he's able to get it done, then why not? I mean, I don't understand why anyone would have a problem with that. That is one of the priorities, but I think just as importantly, President Trump, and this is something he's been trying to do since his first term, is trying to get the European nations, particularly the EU nations, to spend more money on their own defense. And by talking about how the United States is considering cutting off aid to Ukraine, which, of course, they've hit a pause button on it for now, that should be able to accomplish potentially both of those goals. If the Ukrainian leadership understands that they aren't going to have a continuing ATM, an unending ATM from the United States, they will be more likely to negotiate peace. And at the same time, if the EU sees the United States will be more independent about what conflicts it's going to fund in their own region, then they too will either decide to spend a little bit more money, which a lot of the countries at least pledged to do. Whether they actually do it or not, we'll see. But a number of countries, most notably the United Kingdom, pledged to spend more money in the defense of Ukraine, which of course is indirectly defending their own continent. This is what Donald Trump wanted. This will either force them to do that or force them to take on a policy where they are less confrontational and make more decisions that make more sense for the security of their own continent. So I think both of those things are what Donald Trump is really trying to accomplish. And by getting tough on Ukraine funding, it looks like there's a chance for both of them to happen. It may not happen overnight or as quickly as the president wants, but we certainly saw a movement on both sides this week alone. So that I think was encouraging.
What role does the proposed agreement on the rare earth minerals play in all of this?
Well, it plays a very important role, one that most of the news media is completely missing. Russia wants those rare earths. So does China. And that is there's been a carrot and a stick approach to Russia in this Trump administration. The carrot has been to put more pressure on Ukraine, to try to walk back the demonization of Putin completely, to make it clear that the United States, or at least the Trump administration, believes that Ukraine has some complicity in this war. Now, that's the carrot. The stick has been that the United States is making it clear that we're going to take those rare earths, whether we pay for it or not, whether we make a long-term deal for it or not. And that is a major, major blow to Russia, because Russia, that's one of the biggest reasons why they want to take tactical control over Ukraine. And it's not being covered very much by the mainstream news media, because the mainstream news media, their only narrative they have pursued between President Trump and Vladimir Putin since 2016, really 9 years now, has been to try to push this idea that President Trump is somehow Putin's puppet and doing everything to help Vladimir Putin. There's been a lot of things that under the first Trump administration and now with this rare earth deal that the Trump administration has done that is very much flying in the face of what Russia wants and is very much a hindrance to Vladimir Putin's overall agenda. And it's important that it's really regrettable that the mainstream news media is missing this part of the story, because it's making it sound like everything's going Russia's way. And that might encourage Russia to also dig their heels in a little bit too much. The world needs to know, including people in Russia, including the other oligarchs that are in line with Putin, but at some point in time will have to decide how to replace him when he passes away or could pressure him to step down. They need to understand and be reminded that the American people know that the Trump administration isn't doing everything Vladimir Putin wants. And as long as most of the mainstream news media misses this angle, then the carrot and stick approach isn't going to work as well as it could. So this is a real abrogation of responsibility by most of the mainstream news media. They should be reporting about how this rare earth deal is a huge blow to Vladimir Putin, and they should be doing that regularly.
The hundreds of billions of dollars that the United States has poured into this effort, is it important that we get some of that money back?
Well, of course it is. This is a huge problem for a country that we're approaching a $40 trillion debt. Now, how to get that money back? It can't all come from Ukraine. They don't have that. And obviously, this rare earth deal, I think, is maybe $500 million, maybe at best. I think it's worth a lot more than that in political capital, but that's not going to be enough to recoup the spending. But that is where the spending by the other European countries on their own defense comes in. If this entire event, tire fiasco, whatever you want to call it, ends up leading to a world where the Europeans spend more for their defense, even though it may not, again, lead up to that final price tag that the American peep taxpayers had been had forked over to Ukraine. It could be worth still many billions of dollars, but even more valuable than that, it could lead to less risks for world war, less risks for new conflicts like this to start in the first place, and in some ways be worth a lot more than a few hundred billion dollars, because this could lead to a lot less of a stretching of the American defense capabilities, a lot fewer political problems, and a lot fewer problems for NATO and the strain on that alliance. So let's say it's a couple hundred billion dollars, but we only end up getting a billion here or there, but hundreds of billions of dollars in the future that we won't be spending on a similar problem like this, that's where the savings can come in.
So where do we go to from here?
Well, I think that President Trump needs to make it clear that if it took a fight at the White House for the EU countries to start talking about how much money they're going to spend to defend their own continent, then obviously they need to figure out how to do that without these kinds of problems in the first place. It proves that they did have the money all along, and they did have the will all along. They just had to figure out when they decide to execute that will. And the second thing is, we also have to make sure that we're focusing on the hypocrisy of this all, the entire situation here. For the United States, we have a chance to provide to our European neighbors, our European friends and allies, the kind of energy security that is really making this entire situation a hypocritical joke. The EU countries are spending many more billions of dollars every year, spending it and giving it to Vladimir Putin for the energy that he provides for most of Europe, than they are spending on Ukraine to defend themselves against Vladimir Putin. So actually, Putin's actually coming out ahead of the deal by a few billion euros every single year. It's absolutely ludicrous. Now, the previous administration, the Biden administration, blocked the United States from exporting liquefied natural gas to the European countries, which would have truly, truly undermined Putin in a huge way, would have absolutely turned off his cash register. And now, of course, the Trump administration has reversed that. And President Trump has a chance to do something positive for the American economy, in addition to stopping the debt that we talked about a moment ago, but also talking about providing more jobs and more opportunity while at the same time improving Europe's security situation. That's where we need to go from here. Otherwise, this entire thing is just an embarrassing moment, and I don't see what we accomplished.
We have been talking with Jake Novak. He has Jake's Takes on Substack. So, Jake, tell us a bit about that, and you have a new venture as well.
Yes, on Substack, I put out a couple of updates, news updates every day, short ones, about 2 or 3 minutes each that you can listen to, get up to date on all the general news and the financial news, by the way, very basic financial news. But I am also the host of my own program on Real America's Voice. It's a cable station that you can also see on all the streaming networks. You can watch it online. You can watch it on X. And that is called American Sunrise Early Edition, and that is on from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday through Friday. And I anchor and produce that show. We have great guests and we have great topics.
So you get an early start each day. Jake Novak of Jake's Takes. And also you can see him on Real American Voices. So Jake, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.